do. I want to talk to you just for a moment or two on why I am a Christian. And what I'm going to do tonight is simply give a little bit of an illustration of how God spoke to me. And I'm going to do it by using what we call the Lord's Prayer to give some insight into how God caught my heart and how God caused me to love him and to bless him and to worship him with all that I am. It's almost as though I was on a journey with Jesus, but I didn't know who he was. I had not learned what it is to obey him, to walk in his light, but I still could feel him talking to me. And I'd like for you to, in a sense, join me in your imagination as I'm walking with Jesus and I'm walking through life. And in life, I see certain kinds of expressions of what it means to be a fully fledged human person. Because if I didn't know anything about me, I knew that I was not complete. I knew that I was not a fully functioning human person. I knew that I was a malfunctioning human person. I knew that I was a dysfunctional human person. And so Jesus walked me through life. He put up with my rebellion. He put up with my questions. He put up with my profanity, put up with my sense of self and all the things that I thought I could do in my own strength, put up with all those things and just walked with me and talked with me. And he showed me things. He showed me people who were like me, showed me my own heart, showed me people praying to him in ways, for instance, that they thought might be somehow impressive to him. And doing things that they thought might somehow catch his eye. Trying to be strong in their own strength. Trying to be religious in their own strength. Trying to do good things according to their own wisdom, according to their own power, in their own timing, for the sake of their own predetermined results. And the Lord would point to them and say, you see what they're doing? I know you've been trying to emulate that. But don't do that. You see that person over there who's praying really, really loud on the street corner? I know you've been trying to pattern your religion after that person, but don't do that. And you see that person over there whose religion is determined to bring about a desired end, bring about some result. They're doing this so that they could get that, and so on and so forth. Don't do that. You see that person over there who's repeating some mantra, thinking that somehow or another that makes them more holy? Don't do that. He said, I don't want you to talk to me that way. I'm not expecting you to bring me anything that's going to impress me. You see, because that was my problem. My problem was that I thought that somehow or another I could impress God. And I could also manipulate the situations of life to bring about a desired end. If I could do it in my own strength, if I could do it according to my own wisdom, if I could do it in my own way, if I could pattern myself according to the religious exploits of others or the philosophical exploits of others or the political or the ideological exploits of others, if I could just imitate this person, just emulate that person, just get the pattern right, just go to the right place, get the right job, go to the right school, talk to the right person, get the right formula, then everything would be all right. But God said, don't talk to me that way. That's not what I'm looking for. And then he said, if you're going to talk to me, this is the way you do it. First, remember that I am your father. Don't talk to me as though I'm a stranger. You might not have had the appropriate upbringing that might give you a good sense of fatherhood. But he said, remember that I am your father and my name is holy. What that means is I'm different than any father you might have ever known. Some people have not known a father. They've only known neglect and rejection. And the Lord said, don't think of me that way. Other people have had really good fathers, and yet those fathers were good at being dads, but like every other father, horrible at being gods. He said, don't talk to me that way. Don't expect that when you talk to me, you have to impress me. You have to be the perfect little child and all those things. Come to me as a father, knowing that you have not ever met anybody like me. And he said, remind yourself that my kingdom has come to you. In other words, you might have experienced corruption. You might have experienced oppression. You might have seen yourself as unable to advance in a community, in a society. But there is another kingdom. A kingdom that is just, a kingdom that is good, a kingdom that is right, a kingdom based upon a king who will never lie to you, never hurt you, never denigrate you, never disrespect you, never dishonor you, but will love you. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He said, I know you've been trying to do what you believe to be right in your own strength, but you can't change your will. As our brother said earlier, you can't make yourself not like ice cream. You can't change who you are. But when you talk to me, you are talking to someone who has the power to change your will. Somebody who can make you want different things. The Bible says about the Lord that he is able to make us both willing and able to do those things that please God. He said, you're not going to have to talk to me as though you need to muster up your own strength. You need to clench your fists and grit your teeth and make something happen. Don't worry about that. Just focus in, because I'm trying to save your life and the enemy is trying to hurt you. Focus in. This is your life. The Spirit says to us, you are never going to have to do this on your own. You are never going to have to overpower Satan in your own strength. There is life in this house tonight. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In case you didn't know, this war is real. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means God is as powerful on earth as he is in heaven. Heaven is his throne. Earth is his footstool. He can save. He can deliver. He can free no matter what the devil says, no matter what the devil does, no matter how he tries, no matter what he applies. God is still saving lives. God is still saving souls. And this is your opportunity to receive God's blessing, to receive his life. Now, the world will try to tell you that you're too far gone, that you're too immersed in this world, or that you're a product of this world. But the Lord teaches you to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. In other words, you are not going to have to fend for yourself in any way. You're not going to have to make anything happen again. You are not going to have to dig, as it were, into your own heart or into your own mind or into your own pockets and somehow or another afford for yourself life and peace and hope and joy. No, no, no. God provides it, and he provides it every day. And then he said to pray this way, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is to basically understand that we are a forgiven people. I believe in God. I am a Christian. because I've been allowed to be. This is something by invitation only. And when Jesus stretched out his hand and said, whoever will, let him come to me. Whoever is thirsty, let him come to me. When we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would come to him, would believe in him, will never, ever have to die what we call the second death, will never have to be punished, will never, because you see, what we're doing is we're coming to him and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. You heard our brother on the video. He said, Lord, I'm sorry. He simply knew he was forgiven. And you don't know the backdrop of his story, but this is a person who knew a lot of abuse, a lot of neglect, a lot of rejection. He knew not only that he was forgiven, but he also knew that he was able to forgive. So we are Christians because God allowed us to be. And tonight, God is allowing you to recognize the fact that he has always wanted you, has always loved you. His arms were always stretched out for you. When he said, whoever, 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 that means you as well as me. That is an open invitation, but it is by invitation. In other words, we can't earn this in our own strength. We can't make it happen. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts and give us the power to forgive other people. And don't lead us into temptation. In other words, don't bring us into a place where we are being tried above anything that we can handle, and deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from Satan. Give us power over the devil. Don't let us be overcome by Satan. Don't let us be overrun by the devil. Don't let our lives be defined by what the devil would have us to be. Lord Jesus, you free me and you take over my life. You see, the Lord that we serve is a jealous God. He doesn't share his home with anybody. He doesn't share his glory with anybody. He doesn't share his temple with anybody. And if you are a Christian, you are the temple of the Lord. And God is not going to allow anything to overrun you, to override you, to overtake you. And so I'm a Christian because I can pray by the grace of God, the kind of prayer that acknowledges that yours, O God, is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I'm a Christian because the Lord said to me, you see the way you used to do it and the way you tried to do it and tried to make it happen. He said, you don't need to talk to me that way. I'm going to teach you how to love me. I'm going to teach you how to worship me. I'm going to teach you how to bless my name. I'm going to teach you how to trust me. I'm going to teach you to walk in victory. I'm going to teach you how to repent. I'm going to teach you how to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to teach you how to say, Lord, help me. I'm going to teach you how to stand up against every kind of demonic attack. I'm going to teach you how to recognize that all authority ultimately belongs to God. Yours, O God, is the kingdom and the power and the majesty and the glory forever. Of course, I'm a Christian because the Lord taught me how to see life that way, see himself that way. And as a result, to see myself a different way, to know that I belong to God. And so I want to invite you tonight. There was a fight for your soul tonight. Not for mine. I'm already a Christian. But for yours. You came here tonight. You don't even know why. When I walked through these doors, I didn't know why. I just thought I was coming in here to change my clothes. I used to live in the streets of this city. Just like our brother who was on the video. And I used to come here just to change my clothes, just to run down to the bathroom and change my clothes. He knows me. He remembers me, the guy that was on the video. He remembers when I first started here, I used to clean the bathrooms after. He knows a little bit about my story. And at a certain point, I heard the voice of the Lord. I heard God saying to me, stop trying to do this in your own strength. You can't do it. You need me and you need a family. You need to trust somebody. So you might have walked in here for reasons like I walked in here. I don't know exactly why, but I want to invite you. This is the beginning of days for you. Your entire eternity changes tonight. your view of God, your view of self, your view of the world. Everything changes. Everything changes. Because you choose to give the Lord an opportunity to do what he died to be able to do. You understand God's invitation that I talked to you about? It's on the cross. He died so that he can invite you into his heart. Died so that you wouldn't have to. Took your punishment upon himself so that he could love you and you could love him. Of course I'm a Christian. What else can I be? What else would I be? Let's stand in the house of the Lord, if you would. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I love a good fight. God is in the midst. And he's fighting for your soul. You see the enemy's trying to shut it down. Now you got 1,000, 2,000 people in here fighting for your soul. Question is, are you going to fight? Are you going to fight? Are you going to give your life to the Lord? If you want to trust Jesus with all that you are, the God who saved you, the God who loves you, you understand what I mean? Now it's up for you to receive that redemption, to allow him. When I say redemption, I mean he died so that you would have a choice. He saved you from utter oblivion, saved you from the idea of not having any choice, just death. He saved you that far. Now he wants to save you for real. That is to say, he wants to give you new life. He gave you another chance. He gave me another chance. Now he wants to give you life. If the Lord is speaking to you, please. We're not going to coerce you. We're just going to invite you. Just like he did on Calvary, we're simply extending that invitation. If you want to come and give your life to Christ, if you want to be a Christian, follow these who are coming up already. Just begin to walk to the front of this auditorium. We're not going to make you do anything silly. We're not going to embarrass you. We just want to pray with you. And if you, brother and sister, you've been praying, and thank God you're here. You're faithful to believe for God, to save lives, to save souls. You know this war is real. You know this battle is real. If you don't mind, you might have to overcome a little bit of shyness or whatever. But please, you can save somebody's life tonight. Would you please just lean over to someone? Especially if you're with someone and you don't recognize that person. And just say, look, I'm willing to come up with you. I'll stand beside you and I'll pray with you. Because I want to see God do something in your life. Just take a minute or so and just lean over to somebody. Say, are you okay? That's all. Say, are you okay? Is there anything that I can do? Don't be shy here. If you're shy here, brother and sister, this is home. This is your opportunity. You say, bro, well, hey, I'm a little bit shy and it's hard for me to do that kind of a thing. Where else are you going to get experience? Do you want to save anybody's life tonight? Just ask them, are you okay? Is everything all right? This might be an opportunity for you to win somebody's soul, to save somebody's life, to change somebody's eternity. Or you can walk away and say, I had a chance, but I was a little too shy. Help somebody. Help somebody, brothers and sisters. This is real. This is real. We're going to sing a song or two. You can continue to come down. Main floor, balcony. If God is speaking to you, you feel it in your heart. You feel it. You feel it. There's those palpitations. Something is happening and you know it. Come on down. All we're going to do is pray with you, give you some instruction on how to pursue this life. The Lord Jesus is here in the midst to save, to deliver, to free. We'll sing a song. You lean over to your neighbor and see what you can do to change somebody's forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. What a glorious Savior. What a wonderful Jesus. It is always a joy to see new birth, to know that God is still saving lives, still saving souls. It's a beautiful thing to see. There's nothing like it in the world. This is real, brothers and sisters. This is your Savior calling you, saying to you the same way he said to me and to all of us who are here, how much he tenderly loves us. There are people that are still coming. Please continue to come. You don't have to stop. God is doing something wonderful. And there are others who are here, and I know God has spoken to you. You're afraid to come down. I was afraid to come down the first time. I just did my seat, and God still did it work. But to be able to make a statement in front of men and women means that not only is your life being saved, but you're being used of God even at the very beginning to save other lives, because you're taking a stand. Would you repeat after me, please? Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I hurt you. But I know you love me. And I know you forgive me. And so I thank you. And I choose right now to forgive those who have hurt me. And I choose right now to forgive myself. I fully receive your mercy, and I share it with others. You are my God. You are my King. Teach me now how to love you, how to speak to you, how to live for you, how to help others to do the same. And let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, you are a great and a mighty God. We're depending upon you to be who you are. We don't need anything more than you being who you are. Thank you for making us a family. A family whose entire life depends upon your life. Thank you for my brothers and my sisters, Lord. My new family members, my new brothers and sisters. Jesus, I pray, just like you did with our brother, Lord, when you somehow made him know. You made him know. You overcame doubt and made him know. By virtue of experience, he simply experienced your presence. Something happened, and Lord, now he knows, and now he's testifying to it. Lord, I pray your hand upon my brothers and sisters, my new family members. Lord, let it be. Touch every heart so that it cannot be denied that God is real and that this relationship is real and that this change is real. We come against every life, Satan, that would say, oh, this is just another exercise. We come against it in Jesus' name. And Lord, this is a beginning of days, and we know it. And we ask that this life, these lives, be so overflowing with your own that not only will they live forever, but they will bring many, many, many people with them into eternal glory. Make every single one an evangelist. Every single one, that kind of person who helps others who are where they used to be. And we thank you for this, oh Jesus. We bless you for it. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.